The topic of this discussion, this learning, is Yerushalayim. What are we looking for? What do we want when we talk about the return to Yerushalayim? So last week was the election in Yerushalayim for the mayor. Elections in Israel, mind you, Toronto's mayor isn't doing so hot today either. The election for the mayor became, rightly or wrongly, an election over whether or not we want Jerusalem to be an overtly Jewish city, or do we want Jerusalem to be a capital city, cultural center like everyone else. So I actually voted. In Canada, you don't usually say who you voted for. In Israel, that's the first thing you say. So I voted for Barkat, Nir Barkat, who's now the mayor for a second term. But in part of the discussion against Barkat, he was viewed as being the secularist candidate, and the religious candidate criticized him for the following things. He said, does the city of Jerusalem need to have a Formula One car demonstration in the center of the city, which cost a few million shekels? Does it need to have a light festival of different artists displaying their creative works of light in the old city? Do you need to have a festival of sacred music in which Christian choir music is being played within earshot of the Kotel where people are trying to daven? Do you want to have Muslim and Christian cultural events in holy Jewish sites? Or also, one of the things that the mayor is particularly proud of is the recent opening of the Tachana Rishona. Anyone been to the Tachana Rishona? The old train station has become renewed. It's always odd that you have a city that's in so much in demand and so much building going on, and then you get these things that sit there for like 50 years, abandoned buildings with nothing going on. So the old train station is one of those. Right in the heart of the city, you have this old train station with graffiti on it that sat there abandoned for years and years and years. So the mayor, together with the businessmen, developed what they call Tachana Rishona, the first station, which is the old train station, with restaurants, crafts displays, shops, some of which the restaurants are open on Shabbos and are not kosher. And on Friday night, there'll be music playing there. And that's the Tachana Rishona. So the fellow who ran against Nir Barkat said, is that the type of city you want? Do you want a city in which there's culture, there's movie theaters open on Shabbos, the mayor invests and proudly displays a place in which it's going to be open on Friday night, and there are going to be restaurants there, obviously not kosher. So is that what you want? Would you have voted for him? is that what we want? Why would we want that for the city of Jerusalem? When we talk that we pray daily for the return to Yerushalayim, what are we praying for? Is that what we're praying for? Is that what we want when we come back to Yerushalayim? What do we want? So let me start with that. So this is not, I'd like to have some real interaction. Tell me what it is that you think you're praying for when you say that we want to have a return to Jerusalem. What's your vision?
So is that what?
It's very difficult
Okay. So that's one, would be a place, the vision that we're looking for is a place that Jewish people will come again, Aliyah LeRegel, as a pilgrimage to come to Yerushalayim. That's very broad thinking of you. You know, to have a place where everyone's... So that's exactly what Barkat says. Barkat says, you got your vision, but we're not there yet. We're nowhere near there. We're unfolding. But in the meantime, if you develop a city that's not a viable city, no one's going to want to live there. So you got to make it a viable city. So, in other words, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there's an unfolding of redemption. Is there an unfolding of redemption that moves haltingly and imperfectly in this world that we live in which we have religious people and less religious people, and in which we have Christians and Muslims, non-Jews who come to Yerushalayim and who want to come to a city which is going to be an exciting place to come to and want to do something on Friday night? That's part of Barkat's thing. He says, you got 8 million visitors to Yerushalayim a year. That's unbelievable, 8 million. And so he says, if you have so many people, they got to do something on Friday night. You know, it's very nice that we have our Shabbos dinner. But what are tourists going to do in Yerushalayim on a Friday night? At least give them a restaurant to go to where they can go someplace. Otherwise, they all go into East Jerusalem, into the Arab section, which is fine, but give them some options to go to. So in other words, I want to look at the prayers that we say and see whether or not what it is that we're asking for is this unfolding of the redemption that goes haltingly step by step, working towards some type of redemption, or is what we're asking for a divine moment in which all the Jews are gathered into Yerushalayim and everything turns utopian overnight? Is that what we're looking for? I think many feel that second view. I'm not saying that in a specious way. I think many people feel that. Maybe more of the Haredi community feel that it's great that we're back in Yerushalayim, it's great that we have a Jewish state and it supports us or whatever, but this is not the beginning of any redemptive process. This is nice. Where it will end, where it will lead to, who knows. You'll have people, I'm going to get to this book here in a second, but you certainly have people who feel maybe the state of Israel will fall. And maybe this is one stage in Jewish history. And maybe again we'll be in exile. Maybe this time it'll be in China. And there's no guarantee that the state will endure. How many people here feel, if I just said to you, do you think the state of Israel could ever fall? Or no. Do you think the state of Israel will ever fall? Or do you think we're there forever and ever? How many people would say we're there forever and ever? How many people think, not that could fall, how many people think the state of Israel will fall? Like other nations of the world, you know, history changes and stuff. How many people think it will fall someday? Will. Not could. Will fall. And that...
Possibility.
Yeah. Possibility. I'm asking a different thing. How many people would look at the state of Israel just like European countries, Poland, where sometimes it's Russian, sometimes it's Poland, sometimes, you know, history changes and countries change and things change. How many people think that Israel will one day be a Palestinian or Arab state? It's just interesting. I think that most of us feel, I don't know if you'd call it redemption. I think most religious people think that we are in the throes of the Messianic era. Now, maybe not, we don't call it Messianic. We call it, but we don't think this will ever change. We think we're there to stay forever. There are certainly very pious Haredi Jews who would argue with that and say, we're here now. This is just another era of Jewish history. Just like we went from Poland to Toronto, and then from Toronto to Israel. We'll go from Israel to the Congo or China or somewhere else. And Israel will just keep moving around like that. It's just interesting that I think many of us would feel that that's crazy. That's not what it is. Okay, I want to look through a few different places in the davening and see what we think, what it is that we actually say when we're talking about the return to Jerusalem. Yes. Okay. What is it that we're trying to return to? Did it ever happen? You can't return to it if it wasn't there. But what are we looking for? So actually, the first response was that we're looking for a place where the Jews will return to. I was hoping you were going to say something else. We do say in the davening, we'll get to it in a second, Hamachazir Shechinato Lutzion. There is a certain desire that the return to Yerushalayim will not be people walking, looking, thinking, and feeling the way we are, but will be spiritually elevated. That when you walk the streets of Yerushalayim, the Shechina will be there, and you'll feel it. You'll feel something different, experience something different. Let me ask that also. How many people, I want to ask two questions. How many people want this, or how many people have had this? How many people want, when you go to Yerushalayim and you go to the Kotel, that you want to feel something elevated, higher, more sublime, more spiritual than when you're on Bathurst? Even on Beth. How many people want something? That's really interesting. How many people? Yeah, the question is, do I mean the Kotel, the German colony? That's really interesting you say that, because I'll tell you my own feeling. I want that, and I think not only do I want it, I think I'm going to get it in Jerusalem. I think that I will, not every day, and maybe not every week, but that I will have moments that are elevated, transported, that I could not have outside of Israel, and I think it's because the Shekhinah is there. It is a different place. And I don't go to the Kotel that often. I try and go Rosh Chodesh or fast days or whatever. I don't go every day. I want that in my shul that's, you know, in the basement of the building that I live in where there's no windows. You know, I don't think it's just going to be at the Kotel. Sometimes the Kotel that happens, sometimes it doesn't. So now I asked how many people want it. Let me ask the second question. How many people have had it that going to Yerushalayim, you feel or experience what I want to call the Shechina, a transported spiritual moment, which you have not had in any other place? How many people have had that experience there? That's interesting. Okay, we're going to do, I want to go through some of the davening. Everyone should have a book, please. So if someone can just help distribute some of the Siddurim, I'd appreciate that. The mayor, yeah? Mm-hmm. Right. So the comment was when Teddy Kollek was the mayor, he tried to respect everyone and have. The question is, I think Nir Barkat does that too. The question is that what should be done? Is that what we ought to do, or should we try to make the place exclusive? Okay, one more last little comment. If someone has a watch, I could really appreciate the. Thanks, Ray. Thanks. Just leave it right there. I'll be able to see. All right. One last little thought, and then we're going to go on. I just have to share. I have to share this. One of the great pleasures of living in Yerushalayim. So the Talmud says every arba amos, every four amos that you walk is a mitzvah in the land of Israel. It's part of Yeshiva Arts. So you know, four amos is 6 feet. So since I've moved to Yerushalayim, I've gotten into jogging. We used to have an elliptical trainer in our house, but it was too big to take to Israel, and so now I jog. So I first of all really like Nir Barkat because there's this beautiful path that goes where the old railroad track was, and I run almost every day up to the Tayelet, you know, the big lookout that looks out over the whole old city, and I go up there. I love to run up there, and you see the tour groups, and I go over and I pretend I'm stretching, and I listen to what language they're talking. And, you know, and I try and strike up with the people. So so I went up recently, and I was there, and there was a little group there, and they were doing their Shehecheyanu ceremony. How many people here are familiar with the Shehecheyanu ceremony? So many tours, I would say the vast majority of Jewish tours, go up to a lookout either on Mount Scopus or at the Tayelet. They get a bottle of wine. They pour a little l'chaim. They say borei peregafen and shehechianu. Why do they say shehechianu? It's an opportunity of a lifetime to be in Yerushalayim. What more joyful moment could there be in life? And so they say shehechianu. Now, what's problematic about that? So the Talmud says when you come to Yerushalayim and you see the Temple Mount in ruins, you should tear your garments. You should do kriya. In other words, the Temple Mount is still in ruins, so you should tear your garment and say Shehecheyanu. So which is it? Which are you? So that I also want to offer as maybe a symbol of what is it that we hope for in Yerushalayim? Do we have it and hence are happy? Or do we not have it and hence are still mourning Jerusalem? So let's... Where's the first place in which we have any kind of mention of asking for things for the return to Yerushalayim? Anyone? Where? Where would be the a prominent place in which we ask for the return to Yerushalayim? The Shemoneh Esrei. So I think people have different books, but those who have the Art Scroll one, let's start on page 106. Tkaba Shofar. Those who don't have it, it's in the Amidah. Tkaba Shofar, right in the middle of the Amidah. If anyone has the sax one, you can shout out the page. Look, I want to go through these few brachas, and I want you to tell me if you think what we have is what is being described here. I want to know, is this a cumulative request, or is this different pieces of the same thing? Start with the first one. In the first one, Tka b'shofar gadol l'charoteinu. So if we just read the English, if you'll indulge me, we say, sound the great shofar for our freedom, raise the banner to gather our exiles, gather us together from the four corners of the earth. What is the request? The ingathering of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. So that's number one. Number two, I'll read it and then you tell me what it is that is the request that we're asking for here. Restore our judges, as in earliest times, our counselors, as at first, remove from us sorrow and groan, reign over us, you Hashem alone, with kindness and compassion, justify us through judgment. What is that a request for? Having your own sovereignty. In other words, what is the word which is emphasized? Restore our judges, as opposed to those judges which are not our own. So we have this. In other words, the first is, Ruth, you don't like that? But we have judges, don't we? What do you think? So what's missing? We have a judge, we have a Supreme Court in Israel. It's Jewish judges and an Arab one. So what do you think this is a request for? So what's the difference between a request for godly justice and human justice? What does it mean to have godly justice? But what do you mean by godly justice? Is that what you mean, the laws of the Torah, or you mean something else? What? So how is that different from what we have? Yeah. So we're not there. That's for sure. We had no corruption. Mind you, the Supreme Court is not corrupt. Supreme Court is something to be proud of. So I'm trying to get what you're getting at. When we say we want the judges to come back, are we saying that we want to not be under Canadian, which is a secular rule, that we want to have, which you said, independence so that we govern ourselves? Or are we saying that we want the system to be a Torah system completely governed by the rules of the Torah so that God himself is the judge? Is that what you want to say with you, or is that something else? So do we have that? How many think that this is a request for Jewish independence? And how many think this is a request for a system of justice based solely on the rules of the Torah? How many think it's a system of justice, which we have? We have a Jewish national system of justice. We rule ourselves. No one else tells us what to do. How many think it's a Jewish system of justice? And how many think it's a system of justice in which we're ruled by the rules of the Torah? So we either have it or we don't, depending on how you interpret those two things. We're either talking about an unfolding redemption, in which so far we're two for two. We're gathering back in the land of Israel. There's a discussion as to whether or not we're nearing majority of the Jews in the land of Israel now. That, by the way, to my mind, is ridiculous, because there's so many lost Jews in North America that we don't even know about. We're certainly not the majority in the land of Israel, that's for sure. But number one is a request for an unfolding of the Jewish people returning. We got that. The second is Jews governing Jews. Well, we got that. If we take a view that it's the Torah, and so therefore it's a much more sublime return, we don't got that.
Real actions in real life, in real time. And it had nothing to do, frankly, with any of the laws of the 613 mitzvot that were required to keep. So in the early times, there were just day-to-day life.
Well, there were both. There were both. There were both. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, we'll register that vote. Thank you. Yes? Yeah, I'm not sure how to assess that. I think right. So let me just suffice it to say, I think that this is my own view. One view of saying what this is a request for is, we want to have a story-like Jewish world. Messianic, idyllic world in which the Torah, whatever it means to have the governed by Torah laws, to have our system of justice be a Torah system of justice, have God be our judge, and what we have in the Supreme Court today is not that, not at all. Okay, let's go on to the next one. What is this a request for? For slanders, let there be no hope. May all wickedness perish in an instant. May all your enemies be cut down speedily. May you uproot, smash, cast down, humble the wanton sinners speedily in our days. What's this a request for? What's this a request for? Anyone? Yeah, Paul? Okay, I think we're asking in particular that he do something to those of us down here, which is, those who are the enemies of the Torah should just live and be well, but not be successful. I think that's what it means. That there be no success in those that slander the Torah or slander Hashem or slander us and are against us. Yeah, it's probably referring to people who spoke. It could be spoke ill of the Jewish people to the authorities. I always view it as being a broader thing. Those who speak ill of the Torah in general. What's the next one? The righteous. on the righteous, the devout, the elders of your people, the family of Israel, the remnant of their scholars, the righteous converts, ourselves. May your compassion be aroused, Hashem, and give goodly reward to all who sincerely believe in your name. What is that a request for? Divine compassion.
In our own time.
Okay.
What we see now in our time is that good people don't prosper and bad people
right.
do.
And so that's...
In this messianic time, the bad people will be punished speedily, and good people...
Right. So it sounds like it's a time in which the good are rewarded by God, and the evil are not rewarded by God. Is that what we have in modern Israel today? That's not. We don't have that. So, could be. In other words, we're looking... This is what I was trying to goad you on before. This maybe is the divine justice. There should be a time of divine justice. Next one. Okay, so the next two are really crucial ones for this discussion. Yes? Yeah. Okay. I will accept what you're saying. I don't think I agree with it fully. Let's look at the next one, rebuilding Jerusalem. So tell me what this is asking for. This is really one of the punchlines. And to Jerusalem, your city, may you return in compassion. May you rest within it as you have spoken. May you rebuild it soon in our days as an eternal structure. And may you speedily establish the throne of David. What is this a request for? Right. So this return, very often when we talk about the return to Jerusalem, that we pray for the return to Jerusalem, I think to myself about this bracha. This is not a bracha whatsoever about the Jewish people returning to Jerusalem. It's a request for Hashem to return to Jerusalem. What would the city feel? What does it mean for the Shekhinah to be in Jerusalem? Well, so I just want to point out one little thing. This bracha starts with a letter which is problematic. Which is? Why is there a V at the beginning? Vil Yerushalayim Ircha. Actually, if you look in the Sephardi one, it doesn't have it. But Vil Yerushalayim Ircha Barachamim Teshu. What's with the V? Why is there a V there? So the Tosefta says in brachas, in the first parak of brachas, I believe, it says if you say this bracha and the next bracha together, combined, that's okay. They don't need to be separate. So the commentaries say the V is when they were split. That the Nusach Eretz Yisrael from way back in the time of the Mishnah was that these two brachas were one and later they were split into two. Even some say originally there were 17 brachas of the Amidah and later became 18. So what's this one and what's the next one? So the next bracha says, the offspring of your servant David may you speedily cause to flourish. enhance his pride through your salvation, for we hope for your salvation all day long. What are we asking for here? The Mashiach. So if these two are together, we're saying, return to Jerusalem as manifest through your Mashiach, through your human representative, and establish his throne, which is your throne in Jerusalem. The return of God to Jerusalem is the return of a king to Jerusalem. If they're separate, we view these two things as two different things. What I want to offer is, you could look at all of these brachas as being chronological. That there is a process that goes step by step, slowly, maybe 50 years, maybe 100, maybe 200. It goes bit by bit. It's not, you could look at it that way, or you could look at it and say, there is going to be an upheaval in the world in the end of days, in the Messianic era. And that upheaval will have a number of different pieces to it. The Jews will return to Israel. There'll be divine justice in the world. The good will get what they deserve. The evil will get what they deserve. The Shekhinah will come back to Jerusalem. The Mashiach will come. And it'll all be this upheaval that'll be all at once miraculously led by the divine himself with the Mashiach. So which of those is it? You see, if you take the second view, that's not happening today. We don't have divine justice in Jerusalem today, in the world today. We don't have, certainly, the Mashiach in Jerusalem today. We have a number of people who think that they're the Mashiach, but we don't know that those are. They usually end up in... Anyway, so which of those is it? So I think that's the dispute that kind of resonates and manifests itself. It's a very subtle kind of dispute, but it manifests itself all the time in what goes on in Israel today. For those of us, and I include myself, I think it's door number one. I think that the redemption is a slow... I think that's what... These are put in this order deliberately, as an unfolding of history of the return to Jerusalem. It'll start with Jews coming back. That's happened. It'll then continue afterwards with judges and the government. We got that. Then it'll continue with divine justice. Okay, we're not there. We're not there yet. After that, it'll continue with the Shekhinah coming back to Jerusalem, which means we will experience something different. Maybe that's partially happening. Maybe. That's how I view it. I think it's unfolding in history of a deliberate process, step by step, through those number of things. I want to point out an anomaly, and you have to kind of indulge me here for a second. There are three brachas that bother me in the Amidah, amongst the ones that we just did, because they are grammatically unlike all the other requests. So you have to just give me 1 second to give a background. In the Amidah, you have three introductory brachas. You have three concluding brachas. The brachas in the middle, the 13 in the middle, are all requests. For example, if you turn in the art scroll to page 102, what's the first request that we have? Second one, wisdom. So we say, Ata chonen l'adam da'at, you're the one who gives man wisdom. Chaneinu mitcha de'a bina baskel. Chaneinu, that verb structure comes up in every single bracha of the Amidah. Meaning, I lack something, or we lack something. You've got it. Would you give what we lack to us? You have wisdom. We need wisdom. Chaneinu, please grant us the wisdom you have to us. Give us something. What's every bracha is like that? What's the next one? Repentance. Hashiveinu. Return us. You have the ability. We're lacking in ability of the get up and go to return to you. You grant us that which we lack. The next one, forgiveness. Slach lanu. Forgive us. Re'ev yonenu. The next one. Look upon our affliction. You give us relief because we need what you've got, and that is relief. So, if you'll trust me that they all are like that, look at the Brach of Yerushalayim. Page 108, the one we were just at. There's no new in this bracha. There is no part of this bracha that says, you have something which we lack. Could you provide what we lack in the return to Yerushalayim? It's as if we don't really know what it is that we lack without you in Yerushalayim. We don't even know what it is. So if you look at the bracha, there's no new. There's nothing that we're asking for. We say, Vil Yerushalayim ircha, your city return to, tishkon betocha, you should dwell in it, uvneota, build it. We don't ask for anything that we lack. We don't say, because without your presence, we lack dvekut, we lack intimacy, we lack something. I think it's almost as if we don't know what it means to have the Shekhinah in Yerushalayim, so we don't even know what to ask for. Now, we can ask for the Shekhinah to be there, but we don't know what it is that we lack in that. The next bracha is the same thing. The next bracha doesn't have any new either. As Semech David Avdecha Mehera Tatzmiach, Your servant David, may he sprout. Karno Tarum Yeshua Techa, let him be successful in redemption. Because we hope for that all the time. We hope for the redemption. We don't really know what it is. So I just want to throw that out. So I want to develop this theme that you have two different views of what Yerushalayim is. A messianic return that will be of an existence unlike anything we have, or an unfolding of the redemption that will take time and done by human beings and will develop over time. I think we're in number two. There is another section where we talk about the return to Yerushalayim in a very odd place, and that is in Lecha Dodi. So just take a quick look at Lecha Dodi on page 316. So here I want to develop a little bit of a different theme. So even if we say that the return to Yerushalayim is an unfolding redemption, so I asked before, who aspires to a spiritual experience when they come to Yerushalayim? And almost everyone said yes. So I want to paint a picture here that we also have another theme about the return to Yerushalayim that we find in the davening. And that is that Yerushalayim is a city that has the Shekhinah and that is a different experience than any other place in the world. Now, I just said that, I used to be a rationalist. I used to feel uncomfortable with Kabbalah. I used to feel uncomfortable with the notion, Anim Zmiros, for example. That was a beautiful thing. I would always view myself as the rationalist, the calm. And then we made Aliyah. No. I think there is a spiritual part of us that's very deep, that murmurs, that does not surface every day. I think that we want it to surface. I'm not talking about only thoughts. I'm talking about something deeper. And I personally think that there are moments in Yerushalayim which you don't have any other place in the world. And I think that that's the Shekhinah. And I can't say whether or not that was there 100 years ago. But I think that there... I'm just telling you what I think. You know, you may think there is this thing when you move to Yerushalayim, you know, the messianic thing and everything. But I think that with the Jewish people returning to the land of Israel, he's coming with us, or she's coming with us. As Yerushalayim develops more and more, the Shekhinah says, I was in Galut, but I'm coming back with my people. And the more people that come back, the more the Shekhinah manifests itself. And again, whenever you talk about spiritual and mystical things, or the experience of the Shekhinah, you know, we rationalists in the Western world would say that's your hopes and wishes and your psychological, you know, loneliness, or, you know, we could give rational explanations to it. And maybe we're right. But I just don't think so. I don't think so. I think that there is a emergence of the Shekhinah that's a direct function of the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. In Lecha Dodi, it's really interesting. Thanks. Just very briefly. There's a statement in the Medrash that Shabbos is like Me'ein Olam Haba. It's like the future world. What's it based on? I think it's based on the Pshat understanding, the similar understanding of the Psalm, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat. We don't have time for that right now. The way we have our davening today, we have this undercurrent that Shabbos is not just a day of rest, but it's a day of meeting with the Shekhinah. It's a day of getting back together with the Shekhinah, as if the Shekhinah is not with us, and then on Shabbos we get back together. And the imagery which is used for that is the imagery of Yerushalayim. If you look at Lecha Dodi, so the stanzas of Lecha Dodi have very little to do with Shabbos. They have everything to do with the Shekhinah, or Yerushalayim, getting up out of mourning and coming back together with the Jewish people. So if you look in stanza number 3, Mikdash Melech Ir Melucha, we say, the city which is Hashem's holy place, Kumi Tzi'i Mitoch Afecha, get up, get out of your upheaval. Rav lach shevet be'emek habacha, hu yachmol lachem la. You've been sitting in the valley of tears too long. What are we saying? Yerushalayim, the time to be destroyed is over. Get up out of tears. You're sitting like a mourner in the dust. Get up out of the dust because your time of mourning is gone. It's finished. The next one, we continue with the mourning theme. We say, Na'ari mi'afar kumi, get yourself up out of the dust. Who sits in the dust? The mourner on a low, on the floor. Leave she bigdei tifartechami. Who has to put on new clothes? The mourner, because all during the week they're wearing your ripped garments. Take off your ripped garments, Yerushalayim, or the Shekhinah, because it's time to get out of mourning. How is that going to happen? Ayadei ben Yishai beit halachmi. Through the redemption. Next verse. What does this have to do with Shabbos? This is Lecha Dodi. We're saying to Yerushalayim, get up out of mourning, put on your clothes. Hitori, hitori, kivo orech kumiuri. Get up, stir yourself up, because your light has come. Uri, uri, shir davari. Sing a song, because kavod Hashem alaych nigla. The glory of Hashem is now with Yerushalayim. We're saying to Yerushalayim, you're out of mourning, you put on your regular clothes, now start singing for joy because you have the Kavod Hashem on you. You have Hashem's glory. V'hayulim shiso shosayich, the downtrodden, the oppressed should be downtrodden. In other words, our enemies. V'racha ku kol mevalayich, all those who are your detractors, they should be far away from you. Yasis alayich elokai, God's going to rejoice with you, just like a bride and a groom. Yamin usmol tifrotzi, let the city of Jerusalem expand. Et Hashem taritzi, praise Hashem. Ayad ish ben partzi, v'nismacha v'nagila, we'll rejoice together. What's the image of Lecha Dodi? Shabbos is a symbol that we reunite with the Shekhinah, and the image that we use is Yerushalayim. That one day Yerushalayim will get up out of mourning, put on its clothes, sing a new song, and be reunited with Hashem and the Shekhinah at that time. So I think that the image that you have in Lecha Dodi also is that we want to have this experience of the Shekhinah, that we use the return to Yerushalayim in our Shabbos experience, that our Shabbos experience here, wherever we may be, is like the experience of the return to Yerushalayim. What's that Shabbos experience? We sing Yedid Nefesh in many shuls before. We want to feel close to Hashem. We want Hashem to come and be our friend for Shabbos. He'll be our guest, or she, the Shekhinah. And that's just like Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, I just want to close with this. There's two things. We physically return. We physically rule. We establish a society there. We hope for the continuing unfolding. But there's a second level. And that is, as the Jews return, the Shekhinah returns with us. The more we're there, the more she, the Shekhinah, is there. And what we want when we go to Yerushalayim, that feeling of a special spiritual moment, as this redemption unfolds, we have that more and more. Thank you.